Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf Yud Ches. We're holding the bottom of Yud Zayin Amid Beis. We'll start four lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan. Dr. Breiser, Kishem She'omru Osa Legaleach B'moyed. Just like you're not allowed to go and cut here on Chol HaMoed, Kach Osur Litol Tzipanayim B'moyed. You're also not allowed to go and cut your nails on Chol HaMoed. Divrei Reb Yehuda. What's the Svora of Reb Yehuda? Very, very simple. What's the Isser and being Magaleach B'moyed? There's no problem of a Tircha, no problem of Harvacha. The problem is because you don't want to come into Yontif as Menuval, as unkempt. And so therefore, people, the Rabbanim were concerned that if a person were allowed to go and take a haircut on Chol HaMoed, you know what he's going to go and do? He won't bother taking it before Yontif. He'll say, I'll take it on Chol HaMoed, you know, a day later in the Shkeferlach. That's why they said, no, we don't want you to come into Yontif Menuval. And that's why you cannot go and cut your hair on Chol HaMoed. Says Agmar, the same thing applies to long nails. If you don't go and cut your nails down, then it also looks Menuval. So, it's also the Moed. Div Reb Yehuda. Reb Yosi Mater, Reb Yosi is Mater. Ukshem She'omru. Just like we know that an Ovel is not allowed to go and cut his hair during his Avelis, that means for the first 30 days, Kach also Litol Tzipanayim B'mei Avelis, he's also not allowed to cut his nails, Divrei Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda brings the Rishonim bring a riot, Reb Yehuda, from the case of Yifas Toyar, because it says by Yifas Toyar, V'osaso es Tziporneho. And then the next pasuk says, Uvachsa es avi avi es ima yerach yomim. Now, there's a machlokes exactly what v'osa es tziponeo means. It's really machlokes in the Gemara, whether it's referring to let your nails grow long, or whether it means to go and cut your nails. But pasuk pshat, the way they're learning is that we let the nails grow long, and we let it grow long, uvachsa es avi avi es ima yerach yomim, it's like a form of avelis for 30 days. So you see that one of the ways to express one's avelis is to let one's nails grow long. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that's why, just like you're not megaleach, you also don't cut the nails. Rabbi Yosi is matir. Why is Rabbi Yosi matir? Rabbi Yosi says, really has nothing to do with avelis. The only reason why the gabe the yifas toyar, we wanted to grow her nails long, is that she should look ugly and unkempt to the person who went and caught her. So it has nothing to do with Yavachsa Sevias Vesima, rather it has to do with the fact we want her to be as disattractive or unattractive as possible. Amar Ula, how do we paskin halachik Reb Yehuda b'Avel? When it comes to Avelis, we follow Reb Yehuda. Balach Reb Yosi b'Moed, b'Gabi Chol HaMoed, we do allow for cutting the nails like Reb Yosi. Ushmul Amar Shmul says halachik Reb Yosi b'Moed u'b'Avel. We pass like Reb Yosi by both of them that you can go and cut the nails. Why? The Amar Shmul. Shmul holds the Shitasoi. Halachik the Yamekel b'Avel. When it comes to Avelis, we always paskin like the Divrei Hamekel. And since over here Reb Yosi is the Matir, so we paskin like him as well when he's mako in cutting the nails. Now the Gemara, I'm sorry? Nimuka Ima is referring to, yeah, there's a general rule of Rabbi Yosi Nimuka Ima. According to Ula, we had a machloikis. Ula says we're passing like Rabbi Yehuda Bavelis and not like Rabbi Yosi, notwithstanding Rabbi Yosi Nimuka Ima. So, in this case, he holds the paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel says, no, we paskin like Rabbi Yosi even here too. Not so much because of Mukha Ima, but because we are always Mako when it comes to it.
What does Mukha Ima mean?
Mukha means that Rabbi Yosi, when he said a halacha, it was well researched, and it was based on many, many different strong foundations. Zorki Moravaita. Pinchas Achva de Mar Shmuel. Pinchas was a brother of Mar Shmuel. Isra Beimilza, unfortunately, he had to sit Shiva because someone close to him had passed away. The word Isra, through the Isra Leimilza, is an expression used in the Gemara to say, unfortunately, that he had bad circumstances, meaning that someone passed away. Ol Shmuel Lemishel. So Shmuel went Lemishel Taima Minei. Lemishel Taima Minei is also an expression, which means he went to go and be Menachem Avil. When he comes to be Menachem Avil, he saw that his brother Pinchas Chazanu Litufri Dehaben Efishan. He saw that he was growing long nails and he had not cut them. Shmuel Lishitasi holds that you're allowed to go and cut them. Why didn't you go and cut your nails? Amalei said Pinchas responded to his brother Shmuel, "Ibididei hava mi mezalzlus pei kuli hai." Now the word bididei is written in the third party. It really means ibididach. If this would have happened to you, my brother Shmuel, would you be mezalzel in the avelus so much to go and cut your nails? He meant this, of course, as an innocent statement, meaning, yes, even if it's permissible, but nevertheless, I'm not looking for heterim. I'm never so much bavelus. I'm happy to go not only cut my hair, but also to let my nails grow. Wouldn't you do the same, Chas v'Shalom Shmuel, if you were going and sitting avelus? However, since he used such an expression that if this would have happened to you, it was like a shkoga. A shkoga means a mistake, an accident, what have you, that went out from the ruler, and unfortunately now Shmuel in fact lost a family member. Nebuch, as a result, the Soisis at the top is wondering,
how could it be the brother?
Okay, well, no.
Well, it's making it sound, sorry?
No, it's here. What's your question?
It's making it sound like because of this remark, the relative of Shmuel...
It's correct. Let's get back to your remark in a moment. So now, the reason why in the first case Pinchas was sitting Shiva and not Shmuel, and the reason why Shmuel was sitting Shiva the second time and not Pinchas is because obviously in each case they had a family member that was not related to both. An easy case would be if Chas v'Shalom Pinchas lost a child. And then it had nothing to do with Shmuel. And then Shmuel could have lost a child. And we don't want to talk about children. It could also mean they were only half-brothers. They were paternal brothers and not maternal brothers. Therefore, he had a brother or a sister from another marriage. Exactly. So, there could be a whole bunch of ways that one was sitting Shiva and not the other. Now, the Gemara tells us, we're going to get back to your comment, Ariel, in another moment. This remains Shmuel, unfortunately, the words that Pinchas uttered innocently, unfortunately, became true, and unfortunately, now Shmuel is sitting Shiva. Oh, Pinchas achvel Shmuel the mishal time minay. So Gemara uses the same expression again that Pinchas now came to console to Menachem Avil by Shmuel. Shmuel was quite upset at his brother Pinchas because of the expression that Pinchas used before, saying, "If this would happen to you," and therefore, in his anger, shaklin letufra, he took his cut nails, chaftin liape, and he threw it at him. It's omalei, and now Shmuel says to Pinchas, "Leslach, don't you know the famous rule, bris krusel is for soyim, that when you speak words, you have to be very, very careful because it's as if there is a treaty cut for a person's speech." How do you know that there is such a treaty, such a bris? It's in the possible of Avram El Niarav. Avram Avinu said to his Niarav when he was taking with him Yitzchak to go up to the Akedah, he said, "You can stay here. We have to go a little bit higher up. But we're going to come back to you." Now, at that time, according to what Avram Avinu was understanding, Yitzchak was supposed to go up on the Akedah and only Avram Avinu would be returning. But because of the fact that he said the words in Shuvah Aleichem, the Stayim Milzer Baruch Hashem, there was Siyata Dishmaya, the Hadar Travai, that in fact that both of them did return, as we know, Avram and Yitzchak together. So therefore we learn from that, Bris Krusel of Sosoyim, whatever you say has powers to it. It's not just idle speech. And therefore, that's why people should be careful about what they say. Because a person says something, it could have all types of effects in this world. And therefore, you should have been careful too. The top choice is, asks, why does he go and give a case from Avram Avinu? After all, by Avram Avinu, you might say that Mida Toiva Meruba Midas Paradias, and so therefore, when Avram Avinu said something good, that we're both going to return, Kodesh Baruch Hu went and he was Mamale, he went and fulfilled Avram Avinu's prophecy, if you will, his speech, which was prophetic. However, in the case of Chas v'Shalom, something bad, maybe a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't hold this din of bris krusel v'soyim. Therefore, Tosis says, v'choira, the Gemara should have brought another famous chazal, that al tiftach odem pel ha-satan, don't go and say anything which Chas v'Shalom could lead to the satan, to bad forces, using that speech inappropriately. And the Gemara brings a raya from Shimon Devar Hashem, Ketzinei Sedoim, in Yeshaya, and then after that, the Pasuk Taka says, because they themselves referred to themselves like coming from Sedoim, and therefore Hashem Yisbarach through the Nevuah of Yeshaya also then called them, "You fellas from Sedoim." You have a question.
Pinchas did say ibididei. Mm-hmm. He did try. I mean, he was responding to his own avelus, so he was not clearly of a settled mind. Mm-hmm. But he even was careful not to use a direct expression if it happened to you. He said it in the third person.
For sure.
So he was already abiding by this principle. So why is Shmuel holding him responsible if Shmuel understood that he was avoiding it? He was saying it in a way that...
I hear you. I'm assuming that he would speak to Shmuel in the third party anyway on a regular basis, not because of this particular expression. As it is customary, if you're speaking to a psachosh of a person, you speak to him, the Rav, what does the Rav say, what does the Rebbe say, what does Rosh Hashiva say? So he spoke to him in a third party instead of talking to him directly. You, he said, what would the master have done had he been the Chas V'Shalom also Nebuch sitting by Mele? Anyway, I'm glad you asked that question. Thank you. The reason why I'm glad that you asked that question is because the Gemara is going to ask shortly. Not the Gemara is going to ask. The Gemara is going to tell us shortly that when a person has Sipranayim, when he has nails, he should either bury them or burn them. And a person that does neither of the two, Chas V'Shalom, is a Rasha. What is so terrible about just throwing your nails about? We're going to see him yet, Hashem. Yishmu Beres, yes, exactly. Says Rashi over here that after that, Shmuel went and he carefully collected together all his nails, so we shouldn't have that issue. If you want to see the Rashi, six lines to the top of the Yomit, Chaftinu li Ape, Zorkinu Meroyf Kasi, threw it at him, Vahadir Mechanis Lahu, Zorkan Rashi. See, directly your point, Brother Shai. Thank you for bringing it up. We'll get to that in the Yetzisha. Until now we spoke about the nails on a person's hands. Most of us know that there are also nails that grow on a person's feet. And the question is, does the same rule apply? As they call it in modern terms, is it only a manicure or is it also a pedicure? It's some minay, the yad in the regular. This whole discussion about allowing you to go and cut your nails during Yemei Avelus only applies to the hands and not to the feet. What's the reason why? Because the whole heter would be because the person looks totally unkempt and he looks, if you will, repulsive. However, if it's on the feet, most people wear socks or shoes, and therefore you wouldn't go and see it. Okay, so Avelis, you don't wear shoes, but you wear socks. You wear the plastic sneakers or whatever you wear. And so therefore it wouldn't be noticeable. And they're smaller too. But anyway.
And then they wear sandals, they weren't.
I really can't tell you historically about those types of questions. Even if they wore sandals, were the sandals open from all sides? Maybe only open from the back and not from the front. Maybe from the sides. Maybe they did have.
Yeah, but I'm saying.
I understand.
Socks don't come into being probably later in history.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, the next edition of the article, they're going to have a picture of feet with and without socks, and you'll see whether it looks disgusting or not. Anyway. Good point. So therefore the Gemara said, they thought it was only Yad and not Regel. And Rav Anan said that the way I understand Shmuel's halacha, leshna the Yad, leshna the Regel, doesn't make a difference. And you have the right to go and cut both both the manicure and the pedicure are both permissible for another. Right. Omer of Chiyah Barashi, Omer Rav, Ubi Genustra, Osir. What's a Genustra? Rashi says it's scissors. You shouldn't go and cut them with your scissors. In other words, make them with a shinui. Now, how does one go and cut one's nails without using a scissors?
Knife. Bite them.
Ah, so you heard from Brother Shai, you bite them. Why did I go and ask you that question? Zokhtimar Amr of Shimon Bar Abba. Habakaim nekami derb yoichanam mei medrash b'choli shalmoyit. Now we're leaving Avelis, we're going back to Chol HaMoed. I was there in front of Yoichanan, in this Medish, on Chol HaMoed. Now what did we say about cutting the nails in Chol HaMoed? We said that, was it Mechlekes by Avelis or by Moed? Well, let's go back to the bottom of the Yomid. Omer Uva, Halach Kereb Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda was the Machmir Ba'ovel, Halach Kereb Yoisi B'Moed, that were Mekel in Moed. Shmuel Omer, Halach Kereb Yoisi B'Moed U'Bi'Ovel. So therefore, we're Mekel in both. So what's by Moed? Is there a Machlekes or everybody agrees?
It seems like there's a Machlekes.
Okay, there was initially a Machlekes from Yehuda and Rabbi Yoisi.
Right.
But the Halacha, Ula said, Halach Rabbi Yosi b'moyed. Rabbi Yosi is the matir. Shmuel says, Halach Rabbi Yosi b'moyed. Matir. So according to everybody, on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to remove your fingernails.
And Avelus.
When it comes to Avelus, is a machloikis. Amr Ula Halach Rabbi Yehuda b'Avel. Bottom line. What did Rabbi Yehuda hold? It's Asur. Shmuel said, "Allah can be oisi b'moyed ube avel that we pass can be oisi that it's mutter." So by avelus is a machloikis, by moyed kuliyam a moyda that it's mutter. Right, everybody's in agreement.
Yes,
brother Shai, you're
yeah,
okay.
I'm just reviewing it.
And you'll review it, no problem. Anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan was following the psak of both Ula and Shmuel that we paskin by Chol HaMoed like Rabbi Yosi Leheter, and therefore Mishaklin Letufra, he in fact removed his nails, but how? Brother Shah, we need your help.
By biting
the Bishine with his teeth.
He made a shiner with a shiner.
Good.
Is this referring to just the finger or the toes as well?
That'd be a little bit acrobatic.
After the shir is over, when you get home, not here in shul, at home, everybody should experiment and come back and let us know tomorrow whether they were able to go and bite their foot nails with their teeth. If they did, we're going to give them a special award. Little kids do that? Okay, but what about an older person? Rabbi Yochanan was already Rabbi Yochanan.
Yeah, I think so.
He was also shikul Baal Basar, so it would have been very difficult for him to reach it. Okay, anyway. So he took a manicure with his teeth, and you may or may not have heard the comment of Barry that he made a shinoi with his shinayim, with his teeth. Anyway, what did he do with Zarkinu? And he then threw them down on the floor in the Beis HaMedrash. Shema Amina, what do we see from this story? Three things. Like we just said, that you're allowed to go and cut your nails, yes, with the teeth, but you're allowed to. The fact that you do it with the teeth is not considered to be a davamos, meaning that you're not supposed to do something in front of somebody else if that person will find it repulsive. So for instance, Gemara talks about the person has to spit out. You shouldn't spit out in front of somebody else. I don't intend any harm to the other individual, but yes, it's moist to go and spit on the ground in front of somebody else. Here too, when it says in the Gemara, the person went, Rabbi Yochanan went and he cut his nails with his teeth and then he threw them to the ground, it's not considered to be a devil moist, and therefore that's permissible. Ushmamin and mutal lizarkan, and we also see that you're allowed to just throw them down on the ground. On the third point, I have a big problem. There are three rules by Tzipanayim, or three modes of conduct, if you will. Hakoivron, person who goes and buries Tzipanayim, Tzipanayim again are the nails, is a tzaddik. Sorvon, if he burns them, he's a chassid, which is considered to be a higher madrega. Zorkim, if he throws it down on the ground, he's a rasha. Now you're wondering, time am I? What's so wrong? Well, Shema Tavra Leyin Isha Ubra. We're afraid of an Isham Uberis. Isham Uberis is
a pregnant woman.
The Tapil Isha, and the woman, Chas V'Shalom, will have a nafel. In other words, she's going to miscarry. Why will she miscarry? So there are two reasons which are brought. One is on the physical, emotional level, that a woman that sees nails on the ground, she may consider it repulsive, and therefore go and give her a shudder down her spine, and as a result in her miscarrying. To us, that sounds perhaps a little bit remote, but that's one of the reasons that's given. Another reason that's given, it is not something that we can understand on a superficial human being level. This is more of a spiritual thing. I guess that there's a ruach ra'a, you know what a ruach ra'a is, good, which hovers over nails, and so therefore we're afraid if the woman were to go and walk over those nails, then it might attach to her and cause chas v'shalom a knife. So says the Gemara, if that's the case, the great Rabbi Yochanan, who was a tzaddik and a kodesh and a chassid, how come he just threw them down? How come he didn't burn them? How come he didn't go and bury them? And for the Gemara, Isha, be midrasha lo yishchicha. The whole concern is because an Isha Mimeris might walk over those nails, and then chas v'shalom, she might become miscarry her child. However, women typically don't walk around the bismedish. We're not talking about a shul, we're talking about a bismedish. Bismedish is for men. You don't typically have women trying zach in a bismedish. I'm afraid the marvach, he's saying that zimn, the mechmashil, the shodil, the avroi, isn't there a concern that eventually somebody's going to sweep the floor and he's going to sweep up those nails and then they're going to go and toss it out in the street, and therefore they might not toss it out in a garbage bag and not even a plastic garbage bag. They might just throw it in the street and a woman might pass over that. So maybe then she'll have that problem. He says, this inyan of an isha Uber might go and be mafil is only if it's on the initial location, not if the location has changed. So based on that, it sounds like the reason would be because of the second reason, that it's more spiritual, like an evil Ruches Royce, not because of the fact that it looks repulsive, because repulsive, what difference does it make if you would find it in its initial landing on the floor or in a subsequent sweeping away somewhere else on the floor? In each case, it should be repulsive. So therefore, it would sound like it's the second reason, more of a spiritual nature. Zug ba me chamson lefnei Rebbe. Zug means a pair of individuals came from Chamson. Chamson is a town in North Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara back in Megillah said the Chamson might be related to the Chami Tveria. The Chami Tveria were in Chamson. Chami Tveria, of course, the hot baths in Tveria, which of course were near Tveria. Anyway, so they came from Chamson to Rebbe. Umar Zutra Masni, Zug ba me chamson lefnei Rebbe. What did Marzutra say different than Abuna Marav? They both said word for word the same. Zug bo mechamson lifnei Rabbi. So Rashi already asked this kasha, and Rashi says that there's no difference in substance. The difference is that according to the first version, Rav Yehuda Marav, who were Amiroim, told the story about the Zug bo mechamson lifnei Rabbi, and according to Marzutra, this is already incorporated in a Braisa, that the Braisa already tells us, after all, Rabbi was a Tana. So the Braisa already tells us that Zug bo mechamson lifnei Rabbi. Okay, and what did they want? They asked him, what about Tziponayim? What about nails? Exactly where is this case is talking about? Is a machloikis among the Mepharshim, whether we're talking about Cholamoid, or we're talking about an Ovel. What does Rashi say over here? Rashi, I believe, says it's talking about Cholamoid. No, Bimei Avelos. So I got it wrong. Mumarzutra Masni, I'm almost halfway down. For Marzutra Masni, Bibraisa, the Bikshumi Menu Tsipranaim, Bimei Aveloi, the La Mishmei Rav Yehuda, nothing to do with Rav Yehuda. So that's the difference between the two versions. But he's asking Bimei Avelos. But other Mepharshim say it's talking about during Cholamoid. So he asked him, what about Tsipranaim? He said, yeah, no problem, Cholamoid. I'm sorry, Avelos is fine. So therefore he was following Shmuel at the top. The Shmuel was matir by Avelos like Rav Yosef. Then Bikshumi Menu, Sofa Hitlehem. And whoever repeated the story, whether it was of Yudah Marav or the Braisa, we could tell from the mood and from the answering position of Rabbi that had we asked him about removing the mustache during Yemei Avelis, he would have permitted that as well. What's the inyan of removing the mustache? Because if the mustache gets too long, it can interfere with a person's eating food and enjoying the food. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel went one step further. Not that Bikshumimenu, but in fact, Av Bikshumimenu Sofa. They actually asked that question. In addition to during a Meh Velis, cutting your nails, are you also allowed to go and cut your mustache? Behit to Lehem, and he says, yes, it's permissible. And the Gemara is going to go into more detail. Omer Avitul, who was the Safra, Safra means he was a Soifer, the scribe, said Mishmei Derav, Safa Misovius Lezovius. This heter of removing the mustache goes from one end to the other end. Well, Omer Abami, Ubisofa HaMeakevis. Really, it's more limited to that portion of the mustache that's Ma'akiv the Achila, that causes trouble, that is an obstacle to ones being able to eat. Because if the mustache gets too long, it gets in the way of the lips and it gets in the way of the food, and it's not very pleasant. So therefore, that's the answer. However, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Ledidi, for me, Rashi says that Rav Nachman Yitzchak was an istinus. Istinus means he was a very finicky type of individual. So then he said, Kisof Amakevis Domili. As far as I'm concerned, the guns of the whole mustache that potentially could go and be an obstacle to eating. And so therefore, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not just concerned about little hairs coming down. I would take away a substantial portion of the mustache because I'm very, very finicky. Even a little nothing comes through, I get already all upset and all nervous. The Omar says, now, since we mentioned Avito Safra Mishmei Derav, we don't normally mention them throughout Shas on a frequent basis, so we now bring two other memories that he said. The Omer Avitel Safra Mishmei Derav, Pari Shoyim Mimei Moshe, the Pari who lived the times of Moshe Rabbeinu that we have in the Torah, he was a very short person, who Amma. The whole person was only 2 feet tall. Uzkonei Amma, and his beard was as long as his whole physical stature, also 2 feet long, and Amma. Upamashtikoi, however, is Amma. Amma means his aver down below, the male organ. That was an Amma Vezeris. That was an Amma plus. Zeris is usually a half an Amma, so it would be 1.5 Ammas. Now, Kai Mashinema, like it said in the Pasuk, Ushval Anoshim Yokim Oler. Because Baruch is going to bring against Klal Yisrael a Shval Anoshim, a low life among people. Now, it's difficult to assume that this Gemara is meant literally, and in fact in Ein Yankov, one of the Mephoshim explains that this is all meant as a mushal. What it really means to say is that that part that lived in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, he was a low life, sheba low life, one of the lowest that you can possibly have. So it doesn't mean that he was low in terms of physical, it meant in terms of spiritual, emotional, stature, exactly. So in that, in those terms, he was a nobody, and he should have been born a midget of 2 feet, because he was a Noah. As far as the Konei Amma, as much as he was short, that's how pompous and how arrogant he was.
The Napoleon complex.
I'm not sure what Napoleon complex is, but if that's a fair description, then that's fine with me.
He was 5'2".
Yeah, he was 5'2". Okay.
I remember in history classes.
Okay, very good. Anyway, so he was a very, very pompous individual, so that's why he had it. Now, what has the Zokin have to do with it? Because the Zokin, the Gemara says in other places that Hadar Panim Zokin, Hadras Panim Zokin, that the a person's handsomeness or his beauty or whatever is from his beard. If his beard is nice, it's trimmed, it's long, it's short, whatever, that adds certainly to the person's facial features and gives it color, etc. So therefore the Gemara telling us that his Zokin, which was when he was proud of his own physical prowess, Nebuch Ashori and nobody, Nebuch, he was, that's how pompous he was and how arrogant he was. And what the Gemara tells us is that even worse than that, being a low life and being a pompous, arrogant individual, he was also unfortunately engaged in Znus, and that's why Znus means prohibited illicit activities with women. And that's why the Gemara tells us that it was even worse than his pompousness. And he was 1.5 amis of his good. The word Amgushi is a machloikis in the Gemara. One of the pshatim Amgushi means that he was a sorcerer. What does sorcery have to do with it? Every single morning he would go out to the water and he would try to practice his kishuf, his sorcery. That's one pshat. Rashi in Chumash brings another pshat, which is also based on the Gemara. Rashi also over here brings it briefly, that he was also a very pompous individual, as we just said a moment ago. This is the same Paroi. And this Paroi wanted to go and show the whole world that he is, if you will, godly, in the sense that he never has to go out to the bathroom. The whole day, everybody else had to have bathroom breaks. He never needed a bathroom break. How was this? Because he made sure in the morning, he would do whatever he had to do at that time. He would strain himself and get himself as clean as possible. Presumably he ate and drank very little through the day, so that he was able to hold back anything until at night. He especially went in the morning when nobody was around, so that the whole day he would be able to say, see, I never have to go to the bathroom. I'm a god.
He's a god, yeah.
Exactly. So that's the connotation here of the Amgushi. Zog Gemara Vayter. We go back to our Mishnah Be'elam Chamsin B'moyer Abom B'mdina Sayom. Someone comes from Dina Sayom, or he comes from captivity, or he comes from jail. All of those people that we enumerated in the Mishnah, they can go and do not only Tisporis, but also Kibbus. Kibbus, of course, is laundering on Chol HaMoed. Om Rav Asi, Om Rav Yochanan. Oh, we're bringing now a Gemara that we had a few days ago. Misha'im Le'al L'Chol HaKechad. Nebuch, a person only has one set of clothing. But L'Chavsi B'Chol HaShemoed, he's allowed to go and wash the Chol HaShemoed. He has no braider. He only has one set. He's worn it already the first day, Yom Tif, and maybe a couple of days in Chol HaMoed. Unfortunately, it's gotten soiled. He has to go and wash it. So this is permissible for that individual. Moser Rav Yirmiyah. Let's go back to our Mishnah. Eilu b'chamtzim b'moed abo medin seyom v'chuli is mashma hani in mishen le'el chol ke'echoloi. Why isn't this also mentioned in our Mishnah? Since after all, we gave a whole bunch of examples, this should be a fitting example as well. Amalei Rav Yaakov Rav Yirmiyah Azbulach, I'll explain to you masnis and afagav de islei trei umetanvi. Our Mishnah is talking about the average individual that has at least two sets of clothing or more. And let's assume he only has two sets. So what can he do? Before Yom Tov, he can go and wash out both of them. He won't wash them both simultaneously because then he will be without any clothes. So he'll wear one set of clothing and wash out one. When it dries, he'll put on that one and then he'll wash out the second one. So before Yom Tov, he has two sets of clothing. So in case one of them gets dirty over the first days of Yom Tov or the first days of Chol HaMoed, he still has that second one. So therefore, he's not a nevach. And that individual, therefore, has no right to go and do kvisa on Chol HaMoed. All the people in our Mishnah fit into that category, that normally they would not be able to do kibbutz or kvisa, laundering on Chol HaMoed, but they had other inyanim of oinus. One of them is because he came from Dinas Hayom, the other one came from jail, and this one came from captivity, and this one was a metzoira that was oiler from Tumasai, and so on and so forth. Anyway, that's because they all had two sets of clothing. Our Mishnah is not referring to a person that only has one set of clothing. If he has one set of clothing, then of course he is allowed to go and wash it during Chol HaMoed. Our Mishnah is talking about the two sets plus and not a one set individual. So, Timur, Sholach Rav Yitzchak Bayankab Bar Giyuri Mishmeid Rav Yochanan, Klei Pishton Mutal Lekafsa B'Chol HaShamoed. You're allowed to go and wash Pishton. Klei Pishton means linen, clothing on Chol HaMoed. Rashi here on the Amud Aleph is silent, and the reason is because Rashi relies on his Pirush on the Amud Beis, which is printed Shalobim Komo. You'll see the top Rashi Amud Beis Klei Pishton. So Loinof Pishtircha. The reason is because it washes very, very easily and very, very quickly. You put it in the washing machine, you can take it out. It's all done. You don't have to mitzvah like on wool or cotton or other fabrics. So, others say the reason is because clay pishtim, because it's linen, it also dirties very, very quickly. So you can't go and have a tainin. You should have washed it before Yom Tov. I washed it before Yom Tov. So how come it's dirty? You know, linen clothing gets dirty very, very quickly, very easily. It's not as durable or whatever like other clothing. Anyway, so you have both reasons, either because it's, like Rashi says, because it's very little tircha, in and out, but also with the damage, the dirt also goes in and out quickly, so you gotta wash it. Masim Rav, Freit Rav, you're talking about clay pishtun is mutter lechavsa. Let's go back to our Mishnah. Mishnah said, mipkoi chayyadayim, those are hand towels that you use, for instance, during the meal, before they had paper napkins. Now, hasafarim is a machloikis, whether this is referring to a barber's sheet, or whether it's referring to a mantle of a Sefer Torah. So it says, those you're allowed to, and the Mishnah in fact has a third category as well, which our Gemara doesn't bring. Those are the mitbechoy svoig. Mitbechoy svoig means spongy, but it's referring to bath towels that you use after you come out of the bath, a shower, a mikveh, etc. So all of those you're allowed to go and wash in Chol HaMoed. Is Masha Hani in Klei Pishton light? Why didn't we mention Klei Pishton? Because our Mishnah is not talking about specifically linen garments. If we're talking about linen garments, it wouldn't have restricted it just to these types of towels. It would have said any Klei Pishton. But our Mishnah is referring to Sharmini. In other words, made out of cotton, made out of wool, made out of other minim as well. Among those other minim, then you can only do the mitbechos hayadayim, sfarim, saparim, as well as the mitbechos svoik. But when you're talking about clay pishtim, that's already all clay pishtim. Omer Bahedja, Bahedja name of a person, Ledidi, I saw Chozili Yamashel Tveria. I went by the Yam in Tveria. De mafkilo mishichli de mani kisna b'choyle de muyada. I saw how people were mafkilo. They were carrying to the Yam of Tveria, Meshichli, Rashi says it's a seifel. Seifel is a large basket, a large container, a large whatever. Washing cup. Okay, but here would be a little bit inappropriate to refer to washing cups, as you'll see. What was it full of? It was full of Mani Kisna, Big Day Pishton, Bechol HaDomiyad. Also, he's trying to bring a raya like we said in the Amud Aleph, that you're allowed to go and wash Klei Pishkus. Look at all these people that went to Sfas Hayam during Chol HaMoed, all schlepping all of these linen garments to go and wash them during Chol HaMoed. It's a haraya. Maskul Abaye, Abaye was not at all impressed, and he said to Bahidja, Man li malon d'retzoin chacham mavdi. Tom shloim b'retzoin chacham mavdi. Just because they did it doesn't mean that the rabbis had permitted it. It could be that people did it because they were amaratzim, and they didn't know the rules and regulations. But had they known, maybe they wouldn't have taken it. Not that Chas v'Shalom Abaye is criticizing all these people. It's just saying, if you want to go and bring a raya in the Gemara, it's got to be a raya from Rabbanan Talmidei Chachamim that did this. If you just see the just the rank and file among the nation, not everybody to meet a chum, there may have been a fair number of amaratzim, and they didn't know what they were doing. Anyway, on to the next mission of the Mishnah. The following you can go and write on Chol HaMoed. Each one of them, the assumption is, it's a Dovra Oved, that it's important that it be written on this Chol HaMoed. What are those documents? Kedushei Noshim. Kedushei Noshim, says Rashi, means a shtar that was used to go and be Mekadesh as a Isha. Back in the beginning of Masechtas Kedushin, or front, when we learn it in Hashem shortly, we'll see the Mishnah says, Ho'isha Niknis B'Sholish Drachim, what are the three?
Kesef,
Shtar, and Bia. So shtar, of course, is a document. That document, in which it says, Hari'at Mekadesh is Libet, but not B'Tvasu, but B'Shtar Zu, that document, by the way, that's not in common use nowadays. You never hear about a person being Mekadosh as Isha B'Shtar. We're not talking about Ksuba. Talking about being Mekadosh, they do it with a ring, they don't do it with a shtar. Anyway, but that's, it's mut to do with a shtar. So such a shtar, you're allowed to go and ride in Chol HaMoed. V'gitin Hashem, I get you allowed to ride in Chol HaMoed. V'shoivrim, and a receipt. Daitiki is a will, a tzavo'o. Matona is a shtar matona, that I'm giving somebody a present. U'prizbulin, prizbul that we write this year because if a person has a loan, he wants to make sure that the Shemitah should not be Meshamet alone. Igrei Shum. What are Igrei Shum? Rashi says these are Igrois that typically would be written by Bezdin, that we have
estimate appraisal.
Thank you. That we have Chas v'Shalom, someone passed away and left over a number of Yorshim and left over a number of assets, and the assets now have to be distributed equally among all the Yorshim. So how do they do that? If it was all cash, that would be simple. If there's only one piece of real estate, we divide it up in thirds or we would sell it. But apparently there was a mixed bag, and among the assets that he left was a piece of real estate and this and that, the other thing. So one of the sons is going to get the real estate. How much is it worth? So the shum is the appraisal, and the igrois shum are the appraisal documents saying how much it's worth. The igrois mazoin is referring to a person who is marrying a lady that was previously married and has a daughter, and therefore one of the conditions of marriage that the wife is bringing to the marriage is, I want you to go and support my daughter, even though it's not your daughter, it's my daughter. So that's igrois mazoin, that's a contractual document which he agrees to go and give her a certain amount of food, etc. Shtori chalitza umiunin. Shtori chalitza miunin are really shtoris that evidence that a chalitza and a miun took place, because chalitza doesn't involve a shtar. Chalitz involves the shoe and the whole ceremony that we're familiar with. Mian, of course, is talking about a young lady that was only Mekudeshes Midrabanan, and then says before she becomes Bas Mitzvah that I don't want to live with this person anymore. How did she get Mekudeshes Midrabanan? Through the mother or through an older brother? Ushtari Birurin, Rashi says that means that if, once again, we go back to an estate situation where we're subdividing the estate and we're giving this chedek to Reuven and this to Shimon and this to Levi, so Shtari Berurin, the Bezin is Mavar, this chedek to this one and this one chedek to that one. Shtari Berurin nowadays has a different connotation, and in fact other Meforshim disagree with the Rashi that Shtari Berurin means that when you enter into a Bezin and you agree to their jurisdiction, you write Shtari Berurin that I agree that this Bezin will handle this dispute.
Zeborer lo echad.
That's Zablo, right, also, yeah. The Zeborer lo echad, Zeborer lo echad. Some people call it Zablo. And then we continue, Gzeiris Bezdin. What a Gzeiris Bezdin, says Rashi, Piske Dinin. In other words, the psak that the Bezdin issues at the end, a written order. And finally, Igrois Shel, it says Rishus. Rashi learns that it's not Rishus, but Roshus. Roshus means the government. If you look at Rashi, the last Rashi here, which is parallel Rashi in the Mishnah, Vigrash Roshus, Tzivoy V'kiyum Shel Shiltoin. The government has now issued various proclamations, various rules and regulations.
Vaccine.
Somebody had to write it down. I'm sorry?
A vaccine mandate.
Whatever, or a mask mandate, or whatever they did. Apparently they need Jews to be able to write, because the Goyim were largely, most of them did not...
Illiterate.
Were illiterate, exactly. And so therefore they had a Jewish scribe to go down, write down what the government had decided. That's how Rashi learns. Tosis wants to see, brings a Yerushalmi, that it's Prisa Shalom. You see the Tosis, about five Tosis and in. Igres Rishus, but Yerushalmi, Mefarish, Prisa Shalom. Prisa Shalom would mean a regular Igeris, that you write a friendship letter from one person to the other. V'yesh Mefarishim, Tzivya Shiltoin, Kimayal Tzvadu L'Roshus, which is the same as the Rashi, so the second shot. Second shot is easier to understand, because after all, that's something that needs to be done Cholamayim, because there's some sort of need for it. But why a friendship letter? You can write before Yom Tov, after Yom Tov. Anyway, Tosis doesn't go into it.
First of all, also, I was wondering.
So let's go. So now, Brother Shai asks, after all, when do we write a prosbul? We write a prosbul at the end of the year. In the case of some people are machmir to do it right before the year started in Shnasa Shvita, Shvias, Shnasa Shmita, others do it at the end of the year. But why do you have to do it during the year? You got plenty of time, right? So Tosis already doesn't ask that question expressly, but generally. If you look at the previous Tosis, Ve'ilu Koisvin B'moyed, Nira D'cholhani HaBedobra Oved. Why? Penyomas Anoisa, in the case of Matana, the person might pass away, or the person who's writing a Tzavoa, he certainly is likely to pass away. Or your Eidim, maybe the people that are signing the document, they might pass away. Or Bezdin, or Yechum Dinaseyam, not necessarily they died, they might travel away. We need written evidence. These things just happen now, and now, Baruch Hashem, they're here, the Bezdin, or the Eidim, or the no. Let's do it now when people are present during Chol HaMoed, because who knows what happens next week, 2 weeks, they won't be around. It's gefährlich. We have a person in Muncie, a lovely, lovely person, Mr. Yenon Baruch. His mother, Leah Shulam, became very sick, not this past Shabbos, but the Friday right before last Shabbos. And he heard that, so he immediately rushed to be with her over Shabbos. And he immediately called his uncle. She had two brothers. He called his uncle to go and say, I want you to know that your sister's very sick. I'm going to visit her. I'm going to be with her. But I just wanted you to know that they took her to the hospital, blah, blah, blah. And what happened was that on Sunday he called the two uncles to tell them, Baruch Hashem, Mommy's feeling a little bit better, and she was in the ICU, and Baruch Hashem is better, only to find out that one of the uncles that he had spoken to on Friday passed away on Shabbos, the day before. So a person thinks that these two are the ones that are healthy. She's the one that Nebuch is not healthy, and they took her to the hospital, he called them to tell him. Nebuch, one of those two brothers, Nebuch passed away suddenly on Shabbos. Anyway, his mother, by the way, was 88, I think, and the brother that passed away was 74. So she lived another couple of days, on Monday or Tuesday, she passed away as well. So brother and sister passed away within 2 days of each other. So you never know these things. So if they're available on Yom Tov, not on Yom Tov, but on Chol HaMoed, it's an important document. Sign it now.
Strike while the iron is hot.
Exactly right. So now getting back to your question about the prosbul. Although we generally do prosbul with any three intelligent individuals who know Epsa Shtickle. In the good old days, apparently, they only did this under the jurisdiction of a real Bezdin, and the person might live in a small town where they didn't have a Bezdin so readily available to them. So he made sure to do it during Chol HaMoed. He went into the big city where you found the three rabbis, he had them sign it. So that's apparently the situation. Okay, so what do you have to write to? Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says halacha, which on the surface is not necessarily related to our Mishnah, or Meshmul Mutal Aris Ishib Khalishomai. You're allowed to go and do Edison. I know you all think to yourself, didn't we say you're not allowed to? That was Nisuin.
Right.
You're not allowed to. And the Gemara is going to bring this shortly. That was a Mishnah back on Chesam Abeis. The Gemara gave four reasons. The first reason was
Chavilos.
Okay, the reason talk of Eim Arvet Simcha Simcha. Rashi said because of Chavilos. Second reason Gemara gave because it says V'samachta B'chagecha V'loi B'ishcha. Third reason given by Gemara was because of the Tircha involved, because any time a person makes a Chasana,
and that's the period of Arivia.
And the fourth reason
Bittol period of Arivia.
The people are going to push it off to Chol HaMoed, figuring this is a convenient way of giving one meal for both purposes. That what I have to go and supply a meal anyway Chol HaMoed for all my guests and my family and blah. and I have to do it for a chasana. Let's make the chasana now. And biyotza, what do they say? Kill two birds with one stone. You're not killing chasana.
Isn't that the same with chavilas? Isn't that the same reason?
Chavilas means that your person wants to. You hear some people that come into shul and they get nervous in chasana. I don't mean to be critical of anyone. And they say, when he's done mincha, well, let's do it, you know, let's get over it, you know, if I have to be there, I'm not, and let's
the matter.
Exactly, and then the marav, let's do it right away, what if to, you know, let's say, halavai, we should be out of here in 8 minutes, and I have to run to a movie, I have to go here, I have to go there, yeah, whatever. So chavilas means that you want to package all the mitzvah together, just get rid of it and be finished with it and done. God, we're done. We'll move on to do something else. So it comes Yom Tov. It's a convenient time. I have to go and be Besimcha for Yom Tov. Besimcha for Asana. Let's just crunch them both together so I shouldn't have to worry about this in next week. Anyway, so we're getting back to Agmar. So Omer Shmuel, Mutala Ares Ish B'chala Shemayit. Of course, today we do Eresin and Nisuin contemporaneously, sequentially under the Chuppah. But that wasn't the case years ago. Years ago, they used to divide. They used to go and separate between the two up to a year's period of time. So, says Agmar, a person's allowed to do that Eresin on Cholomite. Why, says Shmuel, should make a meruachar? Because if you don't, what did you say? Strike when the rod is out. You never know. Somebody else might chop her. So, if she's ready and you're ready, go and at least seal the Eresin on Cholomite. Let's bring it right from our Mishnah. Eilu Koisim Amoyt. Kiddushin Noshin. My love story, Kiddushin Mamish. Like Rashi learned in the Mishnah. And how do you do Eresin? One of the ways would be by giving a star to the Kala. Oh, so that's what we mean. So to Malay, Shtari Psikta. Our Mishnah is not referring to, like Rashi learned, real Shtar Kiddushin, but Shtar Psikta. What's Shtar Psikta? Shtar Psikta is what we call Tanay, Tanoim. What does it say in Tanoim? Kravgil Marab, Kravgil Marab. Kama Atanois Labincha, Kach Vekach. Kamata nisla bidcha, kach vekach. Om de vikitshu, kanu, hein hein advarim, haniknun vamirim. What the Gemara is telling us is that they used to go and write in the document, each side would bring something to the shidduch. I'll bring this amount of money, or I'll bring an apartment, I'll bring this, I'll give them a car, I'll
do that. Do they put down apartments and things like that today?
Today it's all a standard form, they just fill in the names. However, in the good old days they did specify in the Ark Suba study, all the standard forms. But in the good old days you used to negotiate.
The closing was a real estate deal.
Exactly. You know, all of the various things that we learn about in the Sechtes Kedushim, Sechtes Ksubis, and Miat Hashem, Bikar of Mamish. But anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, so that's what the Mishnah meant with the Shtar. We know for a fact. You have no raya that we're talking about Dafke Shtari Kedushin. So there's no raya to Shmuel, because we could be talking about Shtari Psikta, which is a preliminary Shtar that you write before the chasana. Today most people do it at the time of they usually do it at the time right before the chuppah and the chosin stish. The question is what you even need it for. Today's tenor, if you read it carefully, it says that both of them agreed to go make a chasana in a nice way, in this man which is mutually acceptable, which is agreeable to everybody. You know, we're there already. So
it's a formality.
Brought down that you're not allowed to.
All right. Many Hasidic circles, they still write to Noam today at the time of the Vart, at the time of the engagement. They don't do it like most of us do it today. Anyway, continuing on. So, you see, I have no right. Let's try to bring a raya to Shmuel. It says in the Mishnah we quoted before, so Gemara is achmashma ain noisim nisun is prohibited. Holy aris is shari is lechayda. Eresin is permitted, because if eresin is permitted, why didn't it say there in the Mishnah? Why say ain noisim should say ain ma'arisin noshim? Zokti Yomara loymi boy kamer loymi boy le'aris talikarben mitzvah avad eresin. You're not allowed to do during cholamoyed, not like Shmuel, because eresin you're really not performing a mitzvah. It's just a hachonah to the mitzvah. But eresin alone, there is no bia involved, so there's no period of rivia involved. So it's a very nice transaction. We'll all say, we'll smile and mazel tov and all the rest. We'll even dance a rakida. Of the ma'aseh, there's no mitzvah yet. El afil lisa nami to go of mitzvah. He's doing mitzvah peri verivia. I thought maybe we should encourage to do it. Cholamayit. It's a wonderful thing. Yes, let's get married and be so on and a mitzvah. So to Mishnah, even that is osur. Why? For one of the four reasons that we gave before. So the ma'aseh, we have no right.
What was the simcha as well?
What were the four reasons?
What just, yeah, I don't remember.
Which okay. reason does this fall under?
That's the Mishnah of Nisha Simchulai. Right. So the reasons that the Gemara gives
is Dafchas, whatever.
Dafchas and Medves. First reason is because Ein Ba'arvin Simcha B'Simcha.
Oh, so it's back the same.
Exactly. Right. Second reason is Simach B'Chayach.
So it's not that the Simcha, though, remind me of it. Because it's a simcha, so therefore it's
chavila.
Well, it's the first reason. That's the second reason. First right. reason is emar avin simcha simcha. Why emar avin simcha simcha? Because of chavila is chavila. How do we know emar avin simcha simcha? Avada. What's the basis? What's the makor? Emar avin simcha simcha. How do we know?
Simcha b'chagecha.
That's the second reason. But the first reason is, as Imar, because we learned from Shlomo HaMelech, that when he went and did the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, they had two periods of celebration. 7 days prior to Sukkot and 7 days of Sukkot. Ask Imar, why didn't they just combine them together? Reason? Because Imar and Simcha and Simcha, that's why they kept them apart.
Is that also why they didn't do Yom Kippur?
That was, the Gemara asked, right. why didn't they skip Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur they should fast and only do 3 days before and 4 days later, or vice versa? Yeah, very good question. The Gemara learned the Kal V'Chomer from the case of Mishkan. Because in the Mishkan, that was Ein Kiddushos, Ein Kiddushos Oilam, it's only a temporary Kiddusha because after that he was Heter Abbas. And they were matted to go and bring Karbonos of a Yochid, even including on Shabbos. How do I know they did it even on Shabbos? Because of the fact that it said Yoim Shneim Usa Yoim and Yoim Ashti Usa Yoim. It's a chassimin that it was Ritzufin every single day. So if a Korban Yochid can be Doicha Shabbos for the temporary Simcha of the Mishkan, certainly when you're talking about the Beis Hamikdash, Kedushas, Kedushas Olam, and you're talking about a Korban Yochid because everybody in Klai Yisrael brought Kabbonis that time to celebrate the inauguration, so Chavada Nevada, that it certainly is Doicha Shabbos and Yom Kippur. But they were still noivous about the fact that they had had such a celebration in Yom Kippur, so Kadosh Baruch Hu sent the Baruch Hu a pasuk, and there was a baskel that came out from Mishamayim that kulam mizmon and lechay olam haba. They're all going to be olam haba. You don't have to worry. You don't have to buy a kapara. Anyway, that's back on that test. Yeah, no problem. Anyway, so getting back to not that I remembered, I just happened to have reviewed it recently. True. I'm not just kidding. Anyway, back to the Gemara and Zokti Mora Baisho Felisa Namayivi Toshima the Tony Veshmul that we're holding. Yeah. Toshima the Tony Veshmul Ma Arsin Avaloi Koinsin the In Oisin Sudas Aders and Vulan Yam and the Shimchi Loi Shmamina. We have a Brisa. The Brisa was taught in Beishmul, which is not inappropriate because Shmuel is the one that holds that Mutala Aris. But Shmuel didn't say it on its own. He had a Brisa that supports him. It says in the Brisa, Ma'arsin, you're allowed to have Erisin. Avaloi Koinsin, no Nisuin. The Ain Oisin Suda Erisin, even if you're doing an Erisin, but don't make a Suda. Because again, the Lemi Avin, do a Yim Nisha Simchi Loi for the same reason that we gave, because it's a Simcha, Marvin Simcha, Simcha, Smach the Chagech, maybe Ishtecha, Shma Mino, so we have Taka Raya to Shmuel. Frank, you want me, Yom Shmuel, Shemikamel Acha, the reason that Shmuel gave was Shemikamel Acha, but Omer of Yerom Shmuel. The same Shmuel said, a very famous Chazal. Anybody that's ever been to a Vort, or to a Sheva Brochus, or to an Ofruf, will hear this probably a dozen times. B'chol yoyim v'yoyim baskel yoyim to the Ameris bas, pliny l'pliny, soda pliny l'pliny. This is already predetermined. B'chol yoyim v'yoyim, there is that heavenly voice that comes out and says that. Now when does this heavenly voice take place? It says in the Gemara, it takes place when the child is just conceived in utero. They already make this announcement. What's the reason why it says bas ployni la ployni? Why didn't it say ployness to ployni? So the Mepharshim say because mederech kalal, usually the girl is only conceived later. Most of the time, of course there are many exceptions to the rule, agreed, but most of the time the chosin is older than the kalal. So if they're making this statement up in Shemayim, at the time of the boy being conceived, the girl hasn't even been conceived yet. But the father, hopefully, is around, so therefore they say the bas ploni l'ploni. Anyway, so what do we see?
The bas ploni that answers that question?
No. They answer the question why it says bas ploni and not ploni.
I see.
But we're back to question number one. How can Shmuel say Shemi Kamina Acher if this is all predetermined, all pre by Kodesh Baruch Hu, and there's a bas ploni, and it's done? How could somebody go and precede him? Through tefillahs, one can go and change the course of history. And so therefore, maybe somebody will see that young lady, Sprinza, oh, so pretty, and such a wonderful tzedekis, and such a balas chesed, and such a... And therefore, will be mispal. So maybe he'll change the course of history. That's why Shem Yikamen
Rach. Is that a good thing?
We're going to talk about it right now. We're going to see right now. Ki hada Rava shamalehu gavra. Rava overheard a person, the boy Rachmi, that he was being mispal. The omit is damali planisa. There was a particular young lady, maybe not Sprinza, maybe it was Yanta, and he says, I want to go and marry her. No? Amalai, so Rava said to that person, like, boy Rachmi, hachi, you shouldn't go and be mispal. If she is permanent for you, based on the basco, she's not going to go away. She's going to be yours. The Eloi, and if you're going to be mispal, and the tefillah will not be accepted because it wasn't the basco plaini leplaini, then chasushon kafarta b'Hashem. You might come to be koifer b'Hashem. What means you might come to be koifer b'Hashem? Says Rashi, because you'll say, I davened and I davened and I davened, and Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't go and listen to my tefillahs, and so therefore that'll be chasushon that could lead to kfira. The best thing is, don't be mispal. The person's allowed to be mispal for a zivi. So the person should be mispal, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu should send the right zivi. Not to go and send Sprinza or Yenta or Gnendel, but rather, whoever I'm supposed to get married, Kodesh Baruch Hu, send her or send him, and send it easily without too much difficulty.
Or delay,
exactly. But by the way, it does say that even though this is predetermined, there are people that don't exercise their rights, and they sit on their hands, and they refuse to go and take that
bus.
Whatever it is, they do whatever they do, and they okay. Again, let's go back. Basa Achi Shami. Afterwards, Rava heard that individual, the Kamar, that he was so desperate. He said, "Oy ihu lemis mi kama, oy ihi tomis mi kame." In other words, he really wanted this Sprinza or Yenta so badly that he said that if I'm not going to get her, then either I should pass away before she passes away, or she should pass away before me. I shouldn't have to go and see how she gets married to somebody else. Can you imagine? That would be pouring salt into the wound, that I see that my favorite Yenta never goes and marries somebody else instead of me. So either she should pass away first, or I should pass away first. Obviously, you see, this person was quite desperate. Amalei, so again, Rava overheard this. He said, La minlach, didn't I tell you, this is not what you're supposed to be mispal. Leave it alone. Kodesh Baruch Hu will send you the right zivik. Yes, be mispal that the zivik should come, the right one, in the right time. Sure, 100%, but don't try to go and do that type of tefillah. I want dafka her and dafka her. Zog Gemara Baita. So now that we got into that, Inyan Gemara has a similar shtickel. Omer Rabbi Shimon Ruvein ben Astrubili. Min atrei menavim min aksuvim me Hashem isha liish. We find mekoyrois throughout Tanakh, Torah and Vim and Ksuvim, that this is predetermined. This, of course, talking about Yitzchak and Rivka, that when Avraham Avinu sent Eliezer and he wanted to go and take Rivka back, so they both said, we see it's Mehashem Yatzadover, so we see Mehashem. This is referring to Shimshin, that Shimshin wanted to get married to a Philistine, from the Plishtim, and the parents were very upset. Shimshin, you're going to be married. It's Chagoyta, the Plishtim. What's going on? They didn't realize Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to go and take revenge against all the Plishtim, and that's why he decided that Shimshin go and marry this Plishti lady. What is this pasuk talking about? A pasuk in Mishlei, and it's telling us that Hashem Isha Maskelis, when a person is going to have his wife, hopefully Isha of Seichel, that's all predetermined, Mei Hashem. Because although we said in the Gemara before that it's not only the question of the Bas plane of the plane, we don't say Sada plane of the plane, but sometimes it's not because of him, sometimes it has to do with the father. Meaning that Kodesh Baruch already made such a hachroz about the father, and the father passes away. And after he passes away, the bayis v'hoin are left to him, nachlas ovis, as an inheritance from ovis from earlier generations. Ultimately, that's also Mei Hashem, but it may not have been Mei Hashem directly to him. It could have been a result indirectly because of previous generations. But anyway, we see from all three, from Tanakh, Mei Hashem is Isha. And since we mentioned this, Rabbi Shem Reuven ben Istrabuli, the Gemara continued on the Yom Rabbi Shem Reuven ben Istrabuli. The Amri Lom Masisa, Tanu Lom Nerebraisa, Om Reuven ben Istrabuli. So this is not just Rav saying it, but in a price it says Umar Vim Minister Willis. Apparently he was a Tan. What the Gemara tells us is the famous English expression, where there is smoke, there is fire. If somebody is suspected of doing X, Y, and Z, in all likelihood, if he didn't do the full X, Y, and Z, he did the X or the Y or the Z. So the Gemara says, "Ainu nechshav b'dov, a person is not suspected, unless he actually did it. If he didn't do kulay, the whole thing, he did part of it. He had the intentions of doing it. We could tell that that's where he was on that path. At least he saw other people. In other words, this person himself wouldn't have had the guts to be a terrorist and go and blow himself up. But when he heard that there are other people that do that, he was patching and he was, that's wonderful, that's great. So therefore, he's nechshed bedover. He might have been the next guy in line. And if he was weak in his guts to be able to go and do something so outrageous of chas v'shalom, so dangerous of suicide, but you could see that his mind was in that direction. Good. Master Rabbi Yankiv, I'll ask you a kasha. It says in the pasuk Yachbo bnei Yisrael v'ma shalikein al Hashem alikein. It says about the aseres hashvatim that unfortunately they sinned and they would make prefabricated things against the Kodesh Baruch Hu kavi yochel, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Mad Oved Achmon the Tav Oved, and everything that they said about Hashem, of course, that was a bunch of baloney. And therefore, didn't you say that if you suspect someone that there's some truth to it? Well, Hasam Lahachasu David. It's not that they really suspected; they just wanted to be Lahachas against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so they made up all types of fake news. Similarly,
can you translate the word by Yachbo, please? What's that?
The Yachbo means to go and make fabricated dvorim, words and things about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which lehoyev lehiyev
lehnifer. Thank you. Right. Well, we know that the Mishkan was prefabricated also.
I don't think that's what we were referring to. But
no,
yes.
Then this makes Parsha. I'm focused.
Yes, yeah, you're very focused. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us, Shelley. Anyway, let's continue on. So Zokti Gemara Vayter Toshima V'Yekana L'Moishe B'Machna L'Aron Kedosh Hashem. This is referring to the Koyrach people, that they were Kana L'Moishe B'Machna, that they spoke poorly about Moshe Rabbeinu. Now what was this V'Yekanu? Rav Shmuel B'Yitzchak Omer B'Lam Chikol Echad Kina L'Ishtoi M'Moishe, that each person was Mekana L'Ishtoi. Kina is a form of, it's not just that he was jealous, but also warned his wife from the Lashon of Kina that we have by a Soita, don't live with Moshe Rabbeinu. What they suspected Moshe Rabbeinu of being an adulterer, chas v'shalom, living with the women of the Bnei Koyrach. So, Avin, you just said now that if you suspect someone, that means that there's some truth to it. The whole thing was baloney. The reason why they did it was because they wanted to go and say hateful, terrible things about Moshe Rabbeinu. So they said that chas v'shalom, we suspect him of living. Crazy. It's all because they had such a terrible sin, such a terrible hatred. So they said things which never happened, never will happen. All just ridiculous. Halavai, I should be one of those people in that category of individuals that people are choshen me for all types of things, and it should not be. In other words, this will hopefully act as a kapara that he had enough emotional distress on this world, thank you, that people suspected him of participating in a fraud. I didn't, and nothing to do with it. Baruch Hashem, if people are choshen me, that will hopefully wipe out some of the avedus on his ledger, on his balance sheet. That's what Rabbi Yossi said. V'yomer Papa l'didi chashdun v'lehavibi. I myself are an example of someone that they were choshed for doing X, Y, and Z, and it's not true. Anyway, so these two greats, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Papa, both of them talked about echshad, which is not true. But we said a moment ago, if you're choshed someone, there is at least a scintilla of truth to it, even if he didn't do it, but he thought about it, he might have done it, he supported other people and did it. What's going on over here? Zokti Gemara loy kasha. What's the difference? Habakal the pasik, habakal the loy pasik. Talking about whether this was just a fleeting call, a fleeting rumor, or this is a rumor that continued for an extended period of time. If it was just a fleeting rumor, could be baloney. If however it was a kodloy pasik that kept on going, sounds like there was something true about it after all. How long is the code of the pasuk? I would think twice a month or a year. Exactly. Kama Omra Baya, Omra the M, my mother, not the real mother, told me, Dume de Masa, Yoimu Upalga. Dume de Masa means that the rumor mongers in the or mongerers or whatever are spreading rumors, and they were talking about those rumors for a full day and a half. If it lasted for a full day and a half, then we got to be suspicious that maybe something is not true. Anything less than that is considered to be a call of the pasuk. Ah, that's a fleeting rumor which is not true. If it lasted for a day and a half, as you know, in today's media, people's minds and attention are focused for about 5 minutes, because 5 minutes later there's a new scandal, there's a new disaster, a new this, a new nothing. You already forgot about, I remember something happened. As if it happened years ago when it only happened the previous day or something. Anyway, so a day and a half, that's the length of the Kol HaDelei Pasuk. But now the Gemara adds another two or three different conditions. This is that there was no break in this day and a half. In other words, yes, the whole day today, people were talking about Yankov, that he did X, Y, and Z. He spoke during Kaddish and during Chazor Shatz. They were choshed him, and that's what they said. And then overnight, nobody was talking about it anymore. Tomorrow morning, nobody was talking about it anymore. Tomorrow afternoon, they started talking about it again for another half a day. Since it was a hefsek in between, so that shows that the whole thing is not true. He never talked during Kaddish, he never talked during Chazor Shatz. He just didn't go to Minyan, that's why he didn't have an opportunity to go and talk during Chazor Shatz. Don't you worry about it. And even if there was a break,
he never talked during the Chazaras Shas.
He never had bad thoughts in the office.
When we talked about that there was a hefsek in between, you know why there was a hefsek, that there was a break in between these rumors? It could be because the subject of that rumor was as a Gvar Alim, he was a strong guy, and he said one more word and then people will talk about the Chas Hashon, the premature death of that media expert who's the rumor monger. So anyway, so then that doesn't count. That there was a break, and then afterwards it sprouted again. The word novat, says Rashi, means to blossom and to sprout. If it sprouted again, that means, we had that rumor a half a year ago, and then it died down. But now, half a year later, all of a sudden comes up again. What's going on? It's close, there might be some truth to it after all. That's tough if the person had no enemies. Obviously, like we had by Korach and Moshe, could be the whole thing is totally the whole thing is just Mishum Sina, because they hated him, having nothing to do with a scintilla of truth. And with this we will end today. Thank you, Shelley, for your participation, and everybody else, and Hatzlocha and Kol Tov.